Welcome to the Mindset Evolution podcast, powered by Self-Recoding, world-class consulting and coaching services that you can access at selfrecoding.com. Self-Recoding is a unique blend of neuro-healing modalities that will empower you to reach your full potential. Join thousands of others who have experienced rapid results in their journey of personal growth. Now enjoy our show where we bring you tools for a powerful mind with your hosts, Kathy Tate and Daisy Papp.
And hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution, the podcast that gives you tools for a powerful mind. I'm Kathy Tate, your host from Australia. With me, as always, your host from America, Daisy Papp. Hi, Daisy.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you down under? It is Sunday night, my time, and I know for you it's a brand new week. And I wondered, can you give us some heads up what the new week is bringing?
It is bringing sunshine and excitement about the holidays to come. I get to spend time with my family, which I love. And also, well, it will have happened by the time this airs, but I am going skydiving.
I heard about that. I heard.
I'll update you all on another episode how that goes. Today, I want to talk about the people pleaser.
Okay. So what do you have on mind?
Well, I think that this is a good conversation to have because I'm sure that there's many people out there in our audience around the 99 countries we are heard in that have at one time or another, or maybe right now, been a people pleaser. I know that I have done so in my past, and it's a very common lesson, I think, that a lot of us have to learn. And I guess by people pleaser, I mean that person that doesn't know how to say no, that is always saying yes to everything, even when they shouldn't. And so I thought, let's have a chat about it.
I find it interesting that you combine a people pleaser with someone who has challenges saying no. To me, these are not necessarily one and the same. Interesting that you put it together. Exciting.
Oh, well, let's hear why you don't think they're the same. That's interesting to me.
Well, I don't have all the answers. I can only share the answers that I have, and I'm happily doing so. To me, someone who has a challenge saying no may be a people pleaser, but I think not all people pleasers have that challenge saying no.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, nevertheless, so I think it is a good idea to go to the root cause. So what does it mean, pleasing people? Does that not mean then that I'm putting other people's needs and wishes above mine? Does that not mean that I want acceptance and maybe admiration from people where I can only get admiration and appreciation when I do how they say or what they want from me? Therefore, I think it is totally abandoning myself. And that is quite dangerous to me. I have been there and I don't think that it is healthy. And that's why I got out of it. And I help people nowadays how to get out of this themselves. Now, I had a great conversation yesterday with a gentleman over lunch. And he shared with me some insights because I was really curious. He's one of these successful men who had it all and who still has a lot, but does not have the relationship that he had at one time. And I asked him, help me understand, how do men your caliber tick? I want to know. And he said, well, I'm happy to be interviewed. I said, well, we can do a salon talk or an X-ray talk. These are those talks that I do with people who don't want to show their voices, and our sound engineer is altering their voice so no one can recognize them. And he shared that it is a part of a self-diagnosed narcissism. And then when I heard that, self-diagnosed, whoa, he's not in that field. He does not know how to diagnose, unless it's a flat tire on his car, most likely. And he is self-diagnosing himself as a narcissist. And then he says, yeah, well, because it went to such a point that then he believed that on one side he's pleasing people, but these are the wrong people because those who truly loved him, he didn't please. This gentleman shares with me that he was longing for adulation, meaning actually there is a lack of self-confidence and insecurity. Dangerous combination, I think. And then he pleases people who he receives some adulation from. That's not very real, because many people go for to get what they want temporarily. That might be money, that might be a dinner, that might be an invitation, or maybe to climb on the social ladder. And actually, that is reverse, isn't it? Self-defeating. So I'm trying to receive the adulation from people that I do not really care for, because it is not enough for me to receive the adulation, admiration, and the appreciation from the people who are close to me and who have proven to be loyal and real to me. Now, they please people that really don't matter and forget pleasing at all or doing good to the people who do care. So that is one type of people pleaser, but they go in a direction that is not really fulfilling, neither for them nor for those, because those that are pleased temporarily notice after a while that it's only temporary. So those who cannot say no, there's also, I think, a part of embarrassment involved. And it depends on the culture. I've worked with so many people from many cultural backgrounds. And I remember one client of mine very clearly, and he said in his culture, it was considered to be rude when you said no. So therefore, that already elevated him into the category of people pleaser, or not being able to say no. Now, to sum it up, I think it is the abandonment of self that leads to self-betrayal, that then decreases self-esteem and also decreases my trust within me. So when I, again, it goes back to self, when I outsource what I need to be able to give myself, then I'm depending on those outsourced too. And that's very dangerous, I think. So it goes back to having standards, and then it is no longer about pleasing someone or don't please someone. Look, I'm on time with you because I'm on time because I like being on time. It has nothing to do with you. You get the benefit. When I'm having an agreement with someone and I keep it, I don't keep it because of them. I keep it because of me, because I enjoy keeping my agreements. I inform people when I cannot keep my agreement because things changed. I changed, my mind changed, I changed my mind, the situation changed, or I can no longer, or I no longer want to be involved in that. I do that not for other people. I do it for me. So actually I'm a self-pleaser and others get the benefit. You see how that goes? Because all of a sudden I'm independent of all the people that I think whose opinion matters so much for me to be someone. Well, I am. That's fact. And I think it is a good idea to circle back to who you are, who are you episode, hint, hint. We did two of them. Our very first episode, who are you? And then we did a who are you revised, I think a year and a half later, because you are how you behave and you can choose that. And it is easy to choose once you have standards in place. And when they are pleasing to you, then it's no longer about pleasing others. It's about living up to that standard. And I'm off the hook when it comes to people pleasing. Does that make sense how I wrapped it up at all?
Yeah, I think so. I think you nailed it when you talked about it really being an abandonment of self. I think that really sums it up quite well. I'm interested that you're differing in the opinion of it being can't say no, because for me, I equated that with the people pleasing. So that was interesting that you had a different opinion on that. But you've certainly nailed what I understand people pleasing to be, in that you put yourself last. And I think especially, I'm going to call out, especially mothers are guilty of this. We put our children before us a lot until we realize that actually, if you put yourself first, then you're in a better position to be the best mother you can be. And that was a realization that I had about myself. So I bring that up just out of my own experience, not that necessarily it's always the case. Okay, so again, we've come back to self. We've come back to having our own standards, which you've taught me is super, super important in all of areas of our lives. If we come back and we start with self, then we're starting from the right place. And from that point, we start with choosing to have these standards and to do these things for ourselves because we want to uphold our own standards. And if we start from that premise, then the rest falls into place and you avoid the whole trap of being a people pleaser. Have I got that right?
I do agree with you. I think there's one part that I'd like to add for clarification. I think there is a fine line. When I do you a favor, so-called favor, there's a German saying where they say, oh, favors are expensive. And that might be the case in many cases. Nevertheless, I think instead of using it, okay, I do you a favor, I gift you a gift. That maybe I gift you the gift of helping you in the yard. I gift you the gift of ironing your laundry. I give you the gift to watch your child or your dog or your cat or your house while you're gone. I gift it to you instead of using the word favor, because the favor almost implements that there must be a return of. And there again, we're preparing a soil that breeds disappointment based on false expectations. So when I choose to do something for you freely, not because I want to please you, maybe I want to please you, but I gift it to you. Now, a gift to me, there is nothing to be expected in return. So when I gift it to you, and then you may enjoy it or you may not enjoy it. For example, the other day I offered someone a cookie. They don't like cookies. Fine. They're on a special diet. Okay, I get it. I offered them as a gift. Hey, you want a cookie? They said, no, thank you. And I respect that. Nevertheless, I didn't expect them to feel guilty now that they don't appreciate or they're not receiving my gift. You see, there's so many tiny little nuances that fall under this category of people pleasing, because what is excluded of and what is included in the people pleasing? I think we can really make it very simple. When you choose values that you value and you become aware of the values that you value, and then you make those your standard, not only expecting, right, that other people shall and should have behaved a certain way. No, you live up to par, meaning you live by it. And then, only then, we can have that standard also with other people. Otherwise, it's double standard. When I yell at you, but I tell you, don't yell at me, Kathy, but I told you, da-da-da, then I'm yelling at you and now I ask you to not yell at me. How's that working? I first must be it before I can resonate with it. It also includes the law of resonance. It's so beautiful how it all comes together and so naturally. It's so easy. And once you see it, you can never unsee it.
This is very interesting because what you described there by saying instead of doing a favor, gift it, is something that I don't know if it's ingrained in our culture, but I certainly grew up thinking that things were transactional. That if I did something for somebody, then they would do something in return. And I don't really know how, but that was conditioned into me. And I did not even realize it until somebody pointed it out. And that was a big realization for me that I had this preconceived belief in my belief system that things had to be transactional. And so I think that that is very, very important point and a great way of looking at it to gift it instead of using the word favor, because that really does completely transform what is happening. And I think that if we all sort of looked at it that way and decided to gift ourselves when we wanted to, then it not only removes that expectation that can lead to disappointment, but it's also quite special, really, gifting something of yourself to another person. Let's really treasure what's happening here. That's a lovely, beautiful thing to do, whatever it may be, to give something of yourself, your own time, resources, energy, willpower, all these things for somebody else. Yes. And I think if we appreciated that more of each other, there would be less of the negative side of things like we spoke about and less expectations. And we've done whole episodes on expectations and disappointment. Yes. And if you haven't listened to them, please go back because they're great conversations about how to tweak your mindset around these things. And honestly, you're protecting yourself at the end of the day. These tools that we talk about, that we share with you and hopefully inspire you with, they're really just tweaks. And in my mind, that's what they are. And they have made a vast difference to my experience of life and a vast difference to me not reacting like I used to, but rather really looking at what's happening in my life and finding new ways to deal with it that are better for me. And so we share these topics, hoping that we can inspire you with that too out there.
Something else came to my mind, people pleaser. I know of someone who may have the people pleaser syndrome or may be infected by it or may be practicing that. And interestingly enough, they projected onto me that I'm only doing a gift. I gifted my time and I gifted my efforts and I gifted some of my thought processes. And I really did it wholeheartedly. And they were starting to doubt that and they were questioning it. And I shared with them that I will no longer be around when they doubt me because I know me and I'm certain of me and what I do and why I do it. And in order for me to keep it this way, I cannot afford being around someone who is doubting. Yeah. So I turned it around. And I find it interesting that oftentimes people pleaser, although maybe I have been one of those decades ago, today, they're really almost nerve-wracking for me. It really is exhausting for me. Well, you do what you choose to do. And I choose what I go along with and what I don't go along with. That's how simple it is. I find it interesting how people are responding to oftentimes when I share with them, when they ask me, oh, are you sure? Are you sure? Or they call me on a Sunday. And yes, I respond when I can and when I want to respond. And I even answer on a Sunday to clients. And so I did today to two of them. And they said, oh, I'm really sorry to bother you. It's Sunday. Well, you are allowed to contact me anytime. And I choose when to respond because I have control over silencing my phone or switching it off or picking it up or leaving it there. That's my responsibility. So when you already apologize for contacting me, why do you do it then? So it's so controversial, you see. And I can see how challenging it is for people when they ask me, oh, are you sure? Are you sure? And I tell them, maybe it takes you a while longer, but I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And some people who know me since years sometimes still slip back into their old pattern or into the pattern that they're used to be treated with from other people. And then they realize, oh, no, I know you say what you mean and you mean what you say. So once you get that standard, isn't it beautiful? Because first of all, I don't need to even double think or double check to doubt myself. I can still take my time to think about it or to rethink and readjust and change my mind. But I'm like this open book. Isn't it much easier also for you to know that I'm this open book? Kathy, let me ask you as my podcast partner, we're almost 4 years since you found me. Yes, I know. Thank you. Is not it pleasant and doesn't it make it easier between you and I that you know where you stand with me? You know there's no need to please me. I will tell you, hey, Kathy, please, can you do this? Of course, if you send me something thoughtful, I'm totally joyed and filled really with a heart dancing out of joy. I appreciate that. But if there's some need, I will ask you for it. And everything else is a plus. It's that icing on the cake or the cherry or that basil leaf or that mint leaf on top of it all.
No cherry?
Yeah, it can be a cherry. I like cherries too. Where's the whipped cream? I like that too.
Yeah, the cherry is the thing we say. Yeah, absolutely. And I 100% agree. It is a lot easier when you know where you stand. You know, you don't have doubts about the other person because they've made it clear about their standards and their boundaries. Mm. And that's something we haven't talked about yet. And maybe we'll close out with that because I think one of the solutions here when we're talking about going back to self and going back to our own standards is that we also have to put in place our own boundaries for our own health, mental health.
Yes.
And sometimes physical health too.
Yes. You
know, that is real.
Yes. I'm indecisive nowadays if it is really the boundaries being so important or sticking to the standards being more important. Because as I'm observing more and more, I think staying true to your own standards already includes the boundaries, because you're not going to play along with foul play. You're not going to be lured in. And when you stick to that standard, and then we can circle back to the shoebox as well, that, okay, I'm not taking it on. You have this really bad mood and you feel like you must increase your voice and raise your voice and increase the volume and maybe even the potty mouth language here and there, then why do I need to participate in it? My boundary is not about you. My boundary is about me. So when I stick to me and my own standards, then the boundary towards you, it's not a border. It's rather that I stick and hold on to what's important to me and what I stand for. Stand art, art of standing, standard. So I see it today.
Yes, I do agree. I do think that our standards are the basis of what we would call boundaries. And I bring up the boundaries probably just simply because there was a time I didn't know about them. I didn't understand what that meant. I didn't know I should have them. It was not something that had ever been explained or taught to me.
Yeah.
And because of that, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
And I did have some standards. So at that time in my life, and we are talking 30 years ago, at that time I did have standards, but I didn't know what boundaries meant. And so I was confused by it and didn't really understand that I had a right to do that for myself because I'd never been taught that. And if that's happened to me, it's happened to other people. As I always say, I'm pretty representative generally. Like, I'm not that different from everyday normal person, except that I've been doing personal development maybe longer. That's it. Because of the circumstances of my life have forced me into it in order to cope. And so there was a time where I didn't know what boundaries were. And I had standards, but probably couldn't have articulated them. And so there's bound to be people out there like that too. And yes, we have done an episode on boundaries too, but I think it does fit in this conversation in the context of protecting ourselves. And yes, that does start with standards. I definitely agree with you there.
And then when we stick to the standard, I'm not even sure if it is about protection anymore. I thought like you do. That protecting ourselves. I'm not even sure if it is at all about protection. I think it is self-protective as a side effect. I think that's a consequence. It's not the action itself. Look, I am totally with you that the majority of humans were not taught how to choose values, what values are, and to define them and to live up to them and have standards and develop standards and then stick to the standards. Look, I include myself in that. That is why it is such important to my heart that we offer this to the majority of humans so everyone can access that. And my vision is to help educators to acquire these simple, so easy to understand and so easy to deliver methods that make it so natural. Yeah. So that it's almost, how do you call that? A second, not second guess. How do you call that? Second nature, maybe? So back to the episode title, People Pleaser. I think when we shift from people pleaser to self-pleaser, but not in a selfish way, I think then there will be so much more peace naturally in this world because we do no longer fill up the resentment buckets. But I did that for you and now you turned your back on me. Yes, but I do you always favors and you never return them. And oh, but I did that for you and then you never called me back. Well, maybe what I did for you meant a lot to me, but didn't mean a thing to you.
That's a good point, because if we were doing it from an assumption that it would be reciprocated, then you're definitely setting yourself up for disappointment, aren't you?
Yes. I give a few examples when it comes to food. So I, under no circumstances, can imagine that I would ever eat snails. And I know people that love it with some garlic butter and with some herbs in it and very delicate and it smells very good. I'm still not into tasting it. But that's my personal choice, right? That's my private relation with the snails and my taste buds and my stomach and my chewing system, my jaws and such. So let's say you love snails. I know you don't, but let's say you do and you brought them to me. the most delicate snails in this world, and you may have been collecting them and you brought them from so far, and now you're so disappointed that I'm not really enjoying them. So that is, again, let's go back to simple basics. Ask questions. What is it that brings you joy, Kathy? When I know what brings you joy, more likely will I hit the target that I will be able to bring you joy than projecting onto you what would bring joy to me. So you see how it's intertwined? So I want to please you, but when I want to please you based on what I consider pleasing or what would please me, then we are off. But when I'd please me, and then I do myself the favor and you too, to ask you questions. What is it that you enjoy? What is it that excites you? What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you read? What is it that you'd like to do for leisure time? Maybe I can surprise you in that, because maybe you tell me, well, I like hiking and I was actually looking for that specific path or that specific map. Maybe I can surprise you with that map. But when I have no idea, then it's like playing the lottery. And guess what? Most people playing the lottery don't win. So ask questions instead. And that is what I'm so passionate about, to bring this to so many people, not because, oh, yeah, clearly Daisy says that. No, no, because it works for me. And I'm so excited that it works for me and thousands of clients that I've observed and guided through some jungles and some ups and downs through their life and on their journey, that I want to share it with more people so other people can have easy results as well. It only sounds confusing. Once you see it, you can never unsee it. And dear friend of mine, James Rogowski, he likes to say, what you don't know, that's ignorance. But when you know it and then don't do it, that's ignorance. And I so agree with him.
Very nice. Love it. Love it. Well, that's been a really great conversation. Thank you, Daisy. I think we have really rinsed that topic out and made it quite clear that, once again, comes back to self, and that should probably be a mantra.
Yes.
Any final words, Daisy?
Thank you. Yes. I have some more thought that I'd like to share here. When you meet someone that you observe as a people pleaser, share with them that they are enough. I like you for you being you. I appreciate you for you being you. You are enough. And I will appreciate you just as much when you tell me what you like and what your need is. I may disagree with that, but I still keep my liking for you, because I do not make it dependent on that. I think it is a good idea to also inspire others to step out of that people-pleasing in case we would observe it. Let's not assume or guess that they are, but we can ask them, are you trying to please me? I don't need you to please me. I like you this way or that way. Either way, I like you.
Great advice, Daisy. And I would add, send them to this podcast episode.
Oh, yes, that's a very good idea. Nevertheless, I wouldn't call it advice. I'd suggest that, though.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's it from us today. As always, please visit our major sponsor, selfrecoding.com. And we will be back with another episode next week. As always, you can count on us. We are Bald and Blonde.
Mindset Evolution. Talk to you next time. Thank you for listening in to the Bald and Blonde Mindset Evolution podcast. Please share our show with your family and friends. Together, we make this world a better place for you, for us, for future generations. When you need consulting or coaching, visit selfrecoding.com. Also, please remember to rate us 5 stars and leave a review and support us at baldandblonde.live. Talk to you soon.